Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Generations of parents have lost a guide and touchstone, pediatrician T. Barry Brazelton, who died yesterday at the age of 99. Through his Touchpoints book series, his Emmy-winning television show, What Every Baby Knows, and his practice, he changed the way we think about babies, exploring their emotional as well as their physical well-being, and he'd address their parents' well-being as well. He developed the Neonatal Behavioral Assessment Scale to test newborns' responsiveness to sound and light. It came to be known as the Brazelton. He was known as the baby whisperer. And for one lucky neighborhood in Cambridge, Massachusetts, he was Mr. Rogers. That's where we spoke with him in 2005. Dr. Brazelton had just published Sibling Rivalry and Managing Your Anger with his co-author and longtime colleague, Dr. Joshua Sparrow. The book maintains that most anger and aggression in little ones is as bewildering to them as it is to their parents.
I think that's what it is, you know, that it they're out of control and they know it, and it scares them.
It could be even, you give one example of a little boy might be in an entranceway to a room, he just doesn't know which direction to go in, and he can fall apart.
And that's exactly what they do. They're really trying to come to the point of being in control themselves rather than taking it from us. And so if parents can see that as a big step in their emotional development and their cognitive development and their motor development, then it isn't such a threat anymore.
You have a lot of ways that parents can deal with children's anger and aggression, starting with, you know, swaddling an infant so that it's a flailing arm doesn't frighten the infant. Mm-hmm. But on up to the older children, and I want to run through some of those because parents might be hearing you and hearing a laughter in your voice and saying, but I'm desperate when this happens. What happens when it's older children and a child is out of control in a tantrum?
Well, you know that terrible thing that happened in Florida, the child being handcuffed mm-hmm. for having an aggression, a period of out of control. That five-year-old was crying for help.
Teachers there said they had tried everything, and this child was disrupting the class. You say there's a physical way even to approach a child who yes. is in this case. What are some of the things a parent can do?
Well, you can just pick up a child five and hold it. And hold it tight, and if it's going to bang her head or kick you or whatever, you know, you can get a hold on them that keeps them from hurting you.
You suggest sitting a child in your lap facing away from you mm-hmm. with your arms around their front and then maybe gently putting a leg over their legs if you need to.
And safety is the first step. And then when you've got them safe, say, now calm down, calm down, calm down, and don't get excited because that just adds to their excitement. Once they've calmed down, say, now let's talk about it. What was it? And then listen. And once you listen, then you have some idea of what triggered this, and you can begin to try to explain it to the child who wants to know themselves, and you can explain it to yourself. And then at the end of it, say, every time you do this, I'll have to control you until you can control yourself. And that's the acme. That's when you've really made it, when they can control themselves.
What do you do if you suspect?
It's more serious. Yeah, I think when the parent feels they're out of control too, and they don't know what to do about that child, it's time to turn to somebody else. And it doesn't need to be a psychiatrist. It can be somebody who can put their finger on what's behind it. But I don't think you can just throw a child away when they're in trouble like that. I think the main thing is your own, as a parent, your own feelings.
In fact, you write about ghosts from the nursery, that many times it may not be the child that needs the help. The child's reflecting a serious problem in the parent.
Yeah, I think every child calls up the ghosts from your own nursery, and when they hit on something that's very sensitive, you know, you don't have a lot of control over that. One of my grandchildren said to his mother, who's a lot like me, he was six at this point, "Mommy, we'll do better when you calm down." You know, he was right on target, because once she calmed down, this made her laugh, and then she calmed down and things went just swimmingly.
What else might, though, be reflected? I mean, give me some more examples of what when a parent might pull themselves up short and say, wait a minute, this child is triggering something in me.
Well, I went to the grocery store the other day, and this woman was whamming away at her two-year-old, you know, banging on him because he pulled things off the shelf. So I went over, and so I said to her, isn't it awful to bring a two-year-old to the grocery store? And she sat down and started weeping and wept. And at that point, this two-year-old climbed up in her lap and patted her face. And so I said to her, you know, this really gets to you, doesn't it? And she said, oh, my mother used to just tie me up in knots when she'd go to the grocery store, because if she didn't tie me up, I'd be pulling everything off. I said, you realize what you're bringing from your own past? And she said, I never thought of it before.
You know, I'm also thinking it must have been, this woman looks up and there's T. Barry Preselton telling her what to do with her child. But so what does that mother do now?
Well, I think there are a lot of things she could do. One is not bring the child to the grocery store. But the other is, if she does, put him in the cart. You know, the grocery stores have figured this out. You put him in the cart and keep him there. And the third thing is that if it isn't working, gather that child up in your arms and take him out to the car and sit there with him. Say, now, when you're ready, we'll go back. But until you can get ready, we can't be there.
How do you navigate, well, even as a pediatrician, when you can see that a child may be acting out or angry, and then there's a real problem with the parent, alcoholism or something that a parent is not likely to see?
I think when the child is sad, when they don't respond with excitement about learning something new, then you look behind that, trying to help these people, not criticizing them, but saying, look, things aren't going right, are they? Can't I help? And then listen. And people are willing to tell you.
This is T. Barry Brazelton speaking to us in 2005 about a range of things. Having remote parents who liked his brother better. His regret that his work took him from his own children. Sibling rivalry. He says, tell siblings to work things out. I said, some tried that. How long do you wait to see if they can?
Well, I was 50 before I liked my brother. So I can't promise any cutoff point.
You also raise in your book, Understanding Sibling Rivalry, the thing parents don't like to talk about. What if the kids are reflecting a parent's feeling and the parent honestly has to confront the feeling maybe they do like a child better than another child?
Well,
by the way, I don't want any children listening at this point.
You're wonderful. I think confronting those feelings makes them not so strong. The second you have a bias, if you bring it to the surface, it doesn't operate any longer.
It sounds like you're saying that you've sacrificed, you know, some sort of connection with your own children because of what you've given to other children. So given that, What do you want that legacy to be, you know, even, you know, given especially that you made some sacrifices for it?
I guess I really want to see parents and children as our first priority in this country, and they're probably our bottom priority at present. It's just so discouraging to see what we're doing to children, you know, testing four-year-olds. It's just absurd. I think things have just gone so crazy in the past few years that it scares me.
8 years later, in 2013, we met a more reflective T. Barry Brazelton, if that's possible. At 95, he'd just written the memoir Learning to Listen, A Life Caring for Children. And as we looked at the coming end of his career, we talked about when it started, when he first entered the profession, well over a half century ago.
People were just sort of run through like they were on a conveyor belt. But I went into pediatrics because I love kids. I wanted to get inside their brains. I very quickly realized that I couldn't do it unless I understood what their parents saw in them. So I began to try to like parents. And since I'd had a mother that liked my brother but not me, that's one of the ghosts.
Right.
I had a hard time liking parents, but when I finally did, I found that they could tell me so much. And I found out that even in the first two or three months, a child used his behavior as his language.
Why do you love babies so much?
I don't know. I just always have. I was in Croatia after that nightmare over there. And this psychologist who was working with all these children who'd watched their parents raped and murdered and hung came and said, "I'm so depressed, Dr. B. How in the world do you keep yourself from burning out?" And I thought about it. And I said, "I don't know why. I never thought about burning out." Then I said, "Yes, I do. I go and play with a newborn baby, and I see how exciting a baby can be and what that baby can tell us about himself, and he'll lead us right out of our burnout."
The late pediatrician and child-rearing expert T. Barry Brazelton in 2013 at 95. He was born in Waco, Texas. I love how he still says churin. He died yesterday at 99 after 30 books and millions of grateful parents. Another tip he gave us for doctors interacting with parents is to always compliment them first. "You know, I love how you're doing this. I love how you're doing this with your kids." And then ask, "How can I help you?" To hear our entire interviews with Dr. Brazelton or for more information about his work, go to hearnow.org.